Philippians chapter 4. Again, just the blessing yesterday of being able to use that facility was overwhelming for me, really. I just, after 2 years of working and putting it, the building together and seeing it come to fruition yesterday, to see it used as a tool. And we're still about 3 weeks away from getting all the little things completed and stuff, but just what a blessing. And I'm excited the fire department was the first ones who really got to utilize it in that way. So Philippians chapter 4, very simple message today. Again, and a very familiar verse. If most of us would know the verses, most of us could quote verse 13. Look with me in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We see Paul again writing to the church at Philippi. He just reminds them that there's great things. He rejoiced greatly that their care for them had flourished, and that the Philippian church was supporting him financially and helping him physically. And they were careful that he didn't lack anything, and they provided for his needs. In verse 11, he talks about, not that I respect and of want, for I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know, that whether they supplied his physical needs or whether they didn't supply his physical needs, that whatever state he was, he knew how to be content. So today, just emphasizing that contentment, being content. How are we? I was thinking a lot this last couple of weeks about, we live in such a fast-paced world. I don't know. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, this week there was something every night. You know, volleyball, football, church, of course, visitation, and so there was something every night except last night, and I made something up. No, I got to rest last night. But, we live in that kind of world. If you have children, I'm just talking to Brother Ross about this before church. If you have children and, they're involved in those things, we live in a fast-paced world. But we live also in a day and age which everybody thinks they have to have everything. We live in a day and age in which young couples will get married and go out and put themselves into debt, putting furniture in their apartment or in their house, and because they think they got to have everything that their parents had, but their parents worked 20 years to get that. And so we live in a world where it's just fast-paced, and we need to learn, and the only way to do that is with the Lord's help, to be content. Let me clarify in this. I'm not saying, and I don't believe the Bible's teaching, that a person should not strive to better themselves. I'm not saying that as a man or as a woman that you can't seek to improve your lot in life by climbing the ladder. But we better be careful about how we climb the ladder and the sacrifices we have to make. And Kurt pointed out a while ago, the chief did, family's number one. Clarify, as he did yesterday. God is number one. Family is number two, but family is way before work. And love is spelled what? T-I-M-E. And your kids need your time. Your kids need your time more than they need the motorcycle. The kids need the time more than they need the new bicycle. The kids would rather have your time. Amen. Oh, but you say they beg and beg and beg. But I'm telling you, when they turn 16, 17, and 18, if you put in the proper time when they're younger, you'll be much better off than buying them a game for their Sony PlayStation. Amen. Amen. Love is spelled T-I-M-E, spending time with your kids. And so just being content. But again, I want to clarify this whole sermon. I don't want you to think the Bible's not teaching that you can't improve your lot in life, and that you can't have some drive to go back to college and get further your education and those things. Not what the Bible's teaching at all. But it is teaching that whatever state we're in, and wherever place you find yourself in life, to be content. And the Lord will help, of course, in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time. Pray, God, that you bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Understand that salvation is the moment is a miracle in the moment. I'm glad that salvation happens instantaneously. When I accept Christ as my Savior, salvation is instantaneous. At the age of 6 years old, I told my dad that I wanted to get saved and I didn't want to go to hell when I died. And he took me to my pastor. And in my pastor's office, my pastor explained to me the gospel. By the way, the gospel is that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, that he lived a perfect life. By the way, he wasn't like any other man. He was the God-man. He says, he who was rich became poor. We beheld him, the only begotten of the Son, full of grace and truth. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God with skin on. Amen? God became flesh. The same God who created the sun, the moon, and the stars. The God who created all of creation came to this earth. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. Never one time having a sinful thought. Never one time performing a sinful deed. He was the perfect man. And yet, they put him on the cross. And there he gave his life for us. He died for our sins. He died in our place. They put him in a grave. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Up from the grave he arose. Right? With a mighty triumph for his flows, he arose up a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. I'm getting too high there. He arose. I'm not Brother Wiggins. Hallelujah. Christ arose. He arose. The third day he arose from the dead. We serve a living Savior. Amen. And so we think about salvation. Salvation, being saved, being born again, all these terms, that happens in a moment. But the process of being a Christian is maturing as a lifetime. And we think about the word sanctification and all those words. As we look about this, and I'm pointing out here in verse 1 and 10, look with me, verse 10 and 11. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now the last has occurred for you, wherein you are careful." And he says that whatever state, verse 11, "Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." So being content is a learning process. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Oftentimes our problem is that we don't want to slow down and learn what God wants us to learn. We live in a society that places more emphasis on where we are than who we are. Where we are in life. We want life in the fast lane, and when we see the sign, slower traffic, move right, we move quickly and aggressively to the left lane. We have policemen here, but I will say that I am a pretty aggressive driver, because if you're not, you'll get run over. But I'm telling you, as fast-paced as we are, we need to learn to slow down. The Apostle Paul was a man who was reaching forward and pressing toward the mark, as he said in the previous verses, and pushing ahead. But he'd also learned to be content. He knew about life in the fast lane, but he realized life wasn't always easy. The Philippian church had cared for him, taken care of him, supported him. But whether they supported him or not, he learned to be content. Can I remind you, Jesus is all you need. He has it all. I say it a lot, and I think I don't remember who I got it from, but I say it a lot, especially when we're building the building. I know this. Please take this in context. I'll use the word, it's just money. And the reason why I say that a lot, in my own personal finances I do too, when things go wrong, because I'm reminded that Jesus Christ owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills. And certainly God has promised to supply our need. We find that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ will supply all of our needs. Again, contentment. Christians become dissatisfied, discontent with where they are in life. We feel stuck in the slow lane and often resent our situation. Many people fail to learn the lesson of the slow lane. They become depressed and break down altogether. Some are not content with their job. Some are not content with their marriage. Some are not content with being single. Some are not content with their finances. Some are not content. And it just goes on and on and on. And you're never content. Never content. And we need to learn to find that place in life where we can be content. And Paul had learned that place. He'd found victory in life. He had found that place where he could have that joyful life. But by the way, that's what God intended. God intended for life not to be endured, but to be enjoyed. And I know I say it a lot and repeat a lot on purpose. Marriage was not to be endured, it was meant to be enjoyed. Teenage kids were not meant to be endured, they were meant to be enjoyed. They were meant to be enjoyed. And you can find joy in this life. You can have contentment in this life. You can have stability in this life. You can have peace in this life. We think about, again, contentment. He says, for I have learned to be content. So it must be something we can learn to do. Contentment doesn't necessarily come naturally. It was a learned behavior. We need to learn that Jesus is all we need. I know that's cliche, but he is all we need. We need to learn to lean on him. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to lean on the Lord. By the way, where you lean is where you fall. And I think I'll lean on the one who created all things. You can lean on other things that can't be trusted. Your finances can't be trusted. My health can't be trusted. You know, my friends and family can't be trusted. I understand we have friends and family we trust. But ultimately speaking, God's the only one who can absolutely be trusted. When you go through difficult times, can I remind you that God is not up there being mean? He's not out to get you. He doesn't have the magnifying glass. Did y'all do that when you were a kid? Put it on an ant. Kill an ant. It's awesome. Catch paper on fire. Nobody ever did that? Okay, maybe I'm the only weird one then. That's fine. I remember my grandparents, they're on the farm. My papa in the living room had a big desk, and in that desk was a large magnifying glass, you know, one about that big around. And you get that thing out, and man, you could sure burn up a lot of ants. It was fun. Especially, you know, red ants. Who likes red ants? Anyway. I was allergic to red ants. And I would swell up like this, you know. I said, what happened to him? Got bit by a red ant. Looked like a tomato. No, God's not up in heaven trying to be mean. He doesn't have the magnifying glass on you trying to take you out. No, God always has our best interest in mind. Because he is the ultimate expression, of selflessness. He loves you. He cares for you. He loves me. I'm so thankful for that. And he wants the best possible good for us. And so God always has our best interest in mind. Life is not a series of accidents, but divine appointments. Divine appointments. Think about the Christian life. It is good for me. Psalm 119 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The Christian life is a process. And many times we don't want to slow down and learn. Many times we go through difficulties and we don't slow down and learn from that difficulty. Every difficulty we face is a learning process for us. Amen. It is. I don't know about you, had I not gone through some difficulties, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. The difficulties grow our faith, they help us, and they help us to mature as Christians and as human beings. There's always a cross before the crown. You know, if you're going to run a race, you're going to train for the race. You're going to work at it. If you're going to fight a fire, you're going to train so you can do it effectively and do it right. You're going to train. It's going to take some time and some difficulties. Life is that way as well. God has our best interest in mind. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. This is Jesus speaking. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. We think about a yoke and a device that's put on oxen or on horses and to join them together so that they can work and do the work. And Jesus says, hey, take off that hard yoke. Take off that heavy yoke and put my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Many times we're carrying burdens and we're carrying difficulties and tribulations that we shouldn't be carrying. We should cast those upon him. He says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I don't know. It's amazing to me. I love my dad. And most of you know that. I've told lots of stories about my dad. I think my dad's the best human being I've ever met. Ever. I think he's the best Christian I've ever met. And I'm so thankful that my dad loves me and cares for me. And I love and care for him. And I believe he would do anything for me. I believe that. Do you believe that about God? Really? If the Bible says God is our Heavenly Father, he says, if you pray and ask for bread, am I going to give you a rock? No. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants the best possible good for you. So when we go through trials, when we go through experiences, whatever it may be, they're there for us to remind ourselves to slow down a little bit and learn in the midst of that trial. Let the Lord teach us. Let the Holy Spirit teach us. The Holy Spirit will instruct us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit there to instruct us and lead us into all truth. Can I remind you, Christians, that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And He is there to teach you and to help you along the way. I'm glad He is the comforter, aren't you? One called along to side to help us. We understand and know the source of contentment is the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So in and of itself, we can't be content. But with the Lord, we can be content. We can be content. The source of our contentment. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 says, let your conversation or let your lifestyle be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So, the source of contentment is the Lord. And we understand that in this lifestyle, we need to be careful about covetousness. And it's covetousness that leads to discontent. In other words, it's covetousness looking at our neighbor's house and saying, I wish I had that, and then coveting that, and then doing things we can to try to achieve that might... I'll go back to the kids, for instance. If you are working so much and doing so much that you have zero time to spend with your wife and kids, then the bigger house ain't worth it. I know I used the word ain't. That's how I roll. The big house ain't worth it. The newer car is not worth it. It's not worth it. And we need to be reminded that we need not covet other people's stuff. The Lord is my helper. Do you know how to be content? Have it been a place in your life where you are content? Many times we are not content as Christians because we get our eyes off Jesus. We get our eyes off the Lord. And by the way, He is the resurrection and the life. He is able to make all grace abound in our life. He is to provide for all of our needs. I'm thankful for that. Empower us. Strengthen us. He is the source of contentment. Heritage Baptist Church has a lot of things going on and buildings going up and needs that need to be met. I'm thankful God supplies every need. Every need our church has ever had. God's grace is sufficient because God can do anything. Warren Risby said this. He said, contentment is not the escape from the battle. Rather, it is an abiding confidence in the battle. An abiding confidence in God in the battle. God will give you the victory. Lastly, I want you to turn one more scripture with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're almost done. Everybody likes to hear that. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. As believers, maturity is seen in contentment. It's the combination of strength and contentment. In other words, are you dissatisfied with what God has given you? We ought to be satisfied. Right? It takes a lot to satisfy my stomach. It does. And I'm going to eat here in a little bit, and I'm going to get satisfied because I know Brother Shuler's doing the cooking. But in life, many times, we have such a ferocious appetite for stuff that we never get satisfied. There should be a place in your life, as you mature in this life, where you can be content with such things as God has given you. I'm asking you this morning, are you content? Have you found that contentment? Have you found that place? But godliness with contentment is great gain. The devil wants us to take some of God's people and for us to lose our contentment. In other words, it's a contentment with our spouses. You know, you see maybe the grass is greener on the other side. Can I tell you the grass isn't greener on the other side? I'm going to say something that my dad told me when I was... Y'all ready? Most people don't get this one. Some people do. All ladies and all men are wired the same. Anybody get that one? Let me say it again. All men and all ladies are wired the same. At the very core, we're all the same. And so if you leave one and marry another, you're just going to end up with the same person. The problems you have with the other, you're going to have problems with the next one. Because the needs of the woman and the needs of men do not change from person to person. Now, the needs of a woman and the needs of a man are different, way different, and that's a whole nother sermon, but the needs are the same. And so if you learn to meet the needs in one marriage, and you can learn to be content. And certainly I know we have as many in here who are on their second marriage. Can I just encourage you? Meet the needs of your spouse. Be content with what the Lord has given you. Help me out. Amen? Be content. So the devil will try to get you to be discontent, maybe with your house or with a car. Be careful. Be careful. We ought to be content. Think about Eve. She was not content and took of the fruit. Think about Lot, who saw the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah. We think about David, who looked down from his palace and saw Bathsheba. By the way, David had many wives. Why did he need another one? He was not content. Let us learn to be content with the help of the Lord. Lastly, think about this. Worldly possessions do not bring contentment. Can I say it again? Worldly possessions do not bring contentment. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You can't take it with you. Certain that you brought nothing to this world and you'll take nothing out. Somebody has said, do you give while you're living, then you'll be knowing where it's going. Do your giving while you're living, then you'll be knowing where it's going. Think about that for a moment. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a retirement. You should make plans to do all that. But be careful about being so stingy and not being a giver while you have a chance to see where it's going and see the benefits of where it's going. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. Christians should be content and be happy people. I still, unbelievable to me, I find Christians who are some of the most sour people you ever meet. You look at them, you think they've been sucking on lemons. And I'm telling you, we as Christians ought to be the most happy people somebody would ever meet. I mean, heaven's my home. You know, I read the back of the book and we win. You know, whatever happened to this world, it can go on and go about its own way. But I know what's going to happen. I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds my hand. Possessions do not bring happiness. Ask Robin Williams. And I could name people after person after person after person who had fun, fortune, and fame who did not make them happy. Did not make them happy. Happiness is not found in stuff. Happiness is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and being content with what He's given us. Is your heart content today? Is your heart content? Are you resting in Christ as your source of strength? Have you been looking to yourself for a new job or a new relationship instead of looking to Christ for a new job or a new relationship? Being content with where He's placed you. Perhaps this morning you're here and you cannot be content. And maybe that's because you're not content in life because you've never met Jesus. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The greatest decision you will ever make is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, Christianity is not a religion. I know that's put out on TV and much talked about, but Christianity is not a set of rules. Christianity is a relationship. And having that daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how do I know? How do I know I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? How do I know that I am saved? How do I know I'm born again? Well, a lot of you have heard the gospel and know it, but to remind you again, as I said in the introduction, the gospel, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that I'm a sinner. By the way, we're all sinners. All of us are selfish by nature. And therefore, the Bible says, because we are selfish by nature, the penalty for that is death. Revelation describes that death as hell in the lake of fire. And this is the second death. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That we can have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ gave us eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection, that we can find salvation. And through salvation, we find contentment. The greatest need of the world today is not Trump or Hillary. The greatest need today is Jesus. When I was a kid growing up in Sunday school, and a teacher asked the question, any question, you would at least have one kid raise his hand and say, Jesus, because Jesus a lot of time was the answer. But can I tell you, to life, the answer in life, the answer to life, the answer to life, big questions, you know, who am I, where did I come from, what's my purpose in life? The answer is Jesus Christ. And you can find genuine peace, genuine contentment in Him. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation this morning. We're going to turn to hymn 157, Jesus Paid It All. Whatever the need you have in this today, would you come? And we'll help you this morning and pray with you. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You can step out of your chair and come forward. And there'll be one of our staff here, one of our members, to show you how you can have eternal life. How you can have your sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just not content. Head bowed and eyes closed real quick. Again, ask the question, are you content this morning? Are you content? If you're facing difficulties in life and it's a lot of it has to do with not being content, then come down and ask the Lord, Lord, give me contentment. Give me that peace in life. Help me to enjoy life. And He'll do it. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your Word, and we thank You that we can have contentment in this life and peace. And help us, Lord, to experience that as only You can do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As you